Man, and so tonight, I'm excited about tonight. Tonight I'm gonna take a different turn in this series. So we're gonna start. We're gonna start in a different direction. Thank you, ushers. We're gonna go in a different direction here, in the sense of, I gave you some things last week before. I gave you some things that I wanted you all to. I got to maximize my time because I got a lot to say and a little bit of time to say it. So let me see if I can get down the road. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, get down the road, Pastor. Get down the road. Amen. All right. Well, watch yourself now. All right. Amen. Amen. So let me pull my Bible up and let me get my stuff together. All right. So I gave you the components to your financial house, right? What were those components? Let me make sure that we know what we're talking about here, right? I told you that, remember the title of the title of the series is Strapped. But tonight, I want to talk about ROI. I want to talk about something that most, let me see how I'm going to say this. I'll just say most people don't think about is investments, right? We live our lives, and what we do is we spend. We live good. We eat crawfish and boudin and all that kind of stuff. We go down. They got something going down in Louisiana a couple weeks from now. I forgot what they call it. There's something out there. But point is, we spend our lives spending, right? And then when it comes down to the critical point in our life, we expect the government to take care of us. Social Security. All right? Thank you. We spend our lives wondering, like, man, if it gets any worse, what am I going to do? You get to the twilight of your life. Young people, listen to me real good. When I was young, I had people around me to tell me, man, put your money here. But I was like, man, I don't want to hear that. You know, I was that much of a person that I didn't really care about the future. But one thing I found out, and you know, I don't do the color thing, all right? So I don't talk about black, white, green, yellow. I don't play that. If you're saved, you're a Christian. But it's a proven fact that colored people do not invest. Okay? We do not invest. We do a whole lot of spending. And we do a little bit of investing. All right? Even if you have Cash App, you can go on Cash App, you see that tab that says stocks, you can buy 3.5 pieces of stocks and just let it sit there and let it grow. It's just little simple stuff. And I can show you how to do that. All right? And it's just sit it and leave it alone. Thing about investing is it has to do with faith. But it also has to do with risk. And so whenever you invest, you have to first do risk assessment. And then you have to know your tolerance level of how much you can handle to lose. Now, if you say, I can't lose nothing, you're not an investor. All right? You just put your money under your mattress like you is now. and see how much return you're going to get on that. So tonight and for the next 4 weeks, I want to start talking about ROI, a return on investment. All right? Now, I gave you the components. What were the components of a healthy financial life? Budgeting, spending, saving, contentment, giving, planning, discipline. 7 pieces to your financial house. You want me to write it down? See, we're going to get to a point one day when all this stuff is going to be on the screen for you, okay? So here we go. Let me get it for the fast people. Ready? For the smart people. Budgeting, spending, saving, come on, contentment, giving, future planning, discipline, debt reduction. Good, you got it. Now, how do we start? Number one, you pay for everything in cash. No credit cards, no nothing, just cash. Somebody say, I already do that. Number two, what do you do, number two? Cut up your credit card except for the one you're going to use to rent the car and that kind of stuff, okay? All right, number three, emergency fund. So the next thing, so these are your three things you got to do to start. All right, what are we going to do? Cut up your credit cards. All right. Now, don't cut up your debit card. That's not a credit card. Okay. Just want you to know that. That's not. Okay. Now, why am I saying all this? Because in order for you to begin what I'm about to show you, it requires that you understand a few things. So let me point out a few things right quick. Sometimes as Christians, we feel sorry for ourselves because of all the supposable desired things and relationships we think we have given up to follow Jesus. Say it one more time. As Christians, we feel that because we've given up some things that we deserve somehow to have more than what we gave up. Come on, help me somebody. And so today I want you to go to Mark chapter 10. Now the disciples felt the same way. Disciples felt the same way. They're like, man, listen, man. Jesus. Y'all with me? Where am I at? Mark 10. And what? Oh, yeah, that's Mark. 10:28. Now, you know what's happening here, right? Huh? Back up to verse 21. Jesus is talking to the rich man. All right, rich young fellow. He says, looking at him, Jesus felt what? Huh? And said to him, one thing you lack. Now, here's the thing. The rich young ruler was presented with an opportunity. He asked the question, how can I get eternal life? Jesus told him how to do it, and then he gave Jesus a list of how good he'd been. I go to church every week. I pay my tithes. I do what I'm supposed to do. You understand what I'm saying? And so I believe that if I have this, then guess what? I'm doing my part. You ever say that to God? I'm doing my part. Why am I keep running into all this trouble? Why stuff just keep happening to me and stuff like that? You understand what I'm saying? You know, you start telling God how good we are. Come on now. I don't deserve what's happening to me. You see it? So let's look at what Jesus said to him. Rich young ruler. He said, I don't do all that. Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you what? So here's the thing with all of us. There's always going to be one thing that we lack. And the thing is, the important thing about this lesson tonight, about a return on your investment, is to understand something, okay? That there's nothing that you could ever give up that can trump eternal life. Nothing. Now look, some people are living for today, but they're not looking towards eternity. They're not looking to the fact that life is temporary. Do you not know that tomorrow morning we can wake up and your whole life can change? Your whole situation. Listen, the people who wake up to tsunamis and earthquakes and look at Haiti right now. Imagine you were going about your life and then all of a sudden in 1 week, in a month, in 2 months, your whole life has changed. Look at the people in Gaza, right? These people are living in camps and they don't have food. And I'm just using that extreme situation to let you know. And I said this to some people yesterday. The only reason why America is not in the same boat is because there's still a remnant. There's still some godly people in this country, okay? There is still some godly people in this country, and I believe that God won't wipe us out just yet because there's still some praying people. There's still some people who are true to the faith. Are you following me? Watch this. Jesus said, one thing you lack. He says, go. Sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have what? And come. Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you can't come with everything together. You got to come empty. So that I could teach you how to live for me. Because you may think that just because you write a big check in church that you can get the front seat or you can get the mic or you can get away with bad attitude and talking crazy and that kind of stuff. No, you ain't going to get away with none of that. Because guess what? What you bring to the table is nothing. He's telling this man that his possessions is standing in the way of him receiving eternal life. So let me say this to you, and I want to preface this for a minute. Okay, when I say God is going to raise up millionaires in this church, I'm not saying millionaires for you to benefit from it. I'm talking about the kingdom. So let me preface that. But you have to have a kingdom mind to understand that God knows what he needs, what he needs from you. The question is, do you know what you need from him? And one of the things that he's asking this man to do is to what? Sacrifice. This brings me to my point. A lot of us have needs, but we don't sow seeds. I'm going to show you something. We got a bunch of needs, but we have not yet sown a seed in that area. Watch this. Let's read on. But at these words, he was what? Saddened. Imagine that. And went away what? Why? For he was one who owned much property. Oh, man. Watch this. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciple, how hard will it be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God? Now, don't misinterpret this. I'm not speaking with two mouths here because it almost sounds like a contradiction, right? Like, what, God wants us to be poor? No. He says, it's hard for wealthy people to enter the kingdom because they are serving their wealth rather than serving him. But if you serve him, you become wealthy, and then you continue to serve him, not just with your time, talent, but with also your treasure. If you make it your goal, God, I want to make this amount of money this year so I can be a blessing to the kingdom. Kingdom. Lives are going to be changed. The focus is not on what you're going to get. The focus is how are we going to advance God's kingdom. I'm going to say it one more time. Most Christians believe that they're giving up when they give up something, God ain't going to return it. That's the mentality that we have to change. Watch this. Watch this. Oh, thank you, Lord. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus answered him and said to them, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God?" Verse 25, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle." I can't even see the hole sometimes. You don't put a string in there. Like, he says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a what? Rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, the prosperity theology tells you that that's what this life is all about. God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. And I believe God's going to bless you. But here's the thing. There's one word in your component that I gave you, and that word is called contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. All right? See, when God blesses you, you're not going to be overly obsessed by the thing that he blessed you with. You're going to be overly excessively occupied with the fact that he's the one that blesses you, not the thing that he blesses you with. Do I have anybody? Here's the thing. Look what he says. He says, look, the wealthy and then the rich, right? Then they asked the question. They were even more astonished, like you are, and confused. And they said to him, then, who can be saved? Looking at them, Jesus said what? With people. You know what that has to do with? People can't save you. Okay, watch this. You're trying to do something right now in your life, right? And you think that the gatekeeper is the one that's stopping you from getting to where you need to go. It ain't the gatekeeper. It's nobody can stop what God has already ordained for your life. Tell your neighbor ROI. I can't get nothing if I ain't sown nothing. Let me say this. I rush to church every week to tithe. I do, man. Like, I do, because I realize that giving to God is the greatest investment. Some of you don't give your seed a name. That's the reason why you ain't seen nothing happening with it. Then, on top of that, your heart. And then on top of that, you're like, man, I'm finna miss this. You don't look like you miss, nobody look here like they miss meals. Anybody here homeless? May pay that rent late. I know you got the late fee, but guess what? You still got that? How many pay your rent on time this month? Come on and praise God for that. Come on. How many pay your mortgage on time, eh? Mine's auto debit. I got to make sure the money's there. Everybody paid their rent on time? Is that everybody? You like, Pastor, you're in my business now. No, that's a sign of something. Let me rewind the tape for you, because maybe you done got a little sadity on me and you forgot. Remember when you used to always be late? Okay, that's just, see, y'all ain't acting right today. Y'all don't want to act brand new. I see. You don't want to be embarrassed. You remember when you used to pay that stuff late all the time? And you was okay with late fees? But look at you now. Come on now. I mean, you were good with that $100, $35, $100, whatever it was. You were good with it. Like, man, I ain't worried about that. But now you start saying to yourself, man, I got to be a better steward. I got to do better. Man, Lord, I thank you. And look, you ever notice when you walk with God, how the money hit just right on time? I don't know what God is doing. I don't know what God is doing, right? So you know, we're building our business and things like that, you know, restructuring and stuff like that. And it's crazy. Last month, I got a call, a new client. Boom, they called me. We out here working, grinding. They calling me. I'm like, wait a minute. Today, I got a call. They're like, hey, we ready. I'm like, what? Tell your neighbor right on time. That's mine. Tell your neighbor right on time. Now, I believe the reason it happens like that is because I'm expecting a return. The rich man. Somebody watching online trying to figure out where I'm going with this. I'll just keep listening. Look what it says. Verse 26, they were even more astonished and said, well, who can be saved? And Jesus said, what? Now remember, in the context of salvation, why is it in the context of salvation? Money is tied somewhere in there. Pay attention. Can wealth stop you from being saved? You better believe it. Because you may think that the wealth is what's keeping you and sustaining you and where you're getting your security from. But it's not that. It's deeper than that. Watch this. Watch what he says. He says, you know, with people it's impossible, but with God, what? All things. Now, I want you to highlight for a second in your Bible the word things. Man, I'm losing myself. All things are possible with God. Now, let's go to verse 25. Peter is like some of the sheep I have here, you know. They just talk. They don't think before they talk sometimes. They just open their mouth and say things, and you know, because they're happy. Peter was the boisterous one. He's like, I'll speak for everybody. Peter began to say to him, look what he says. What did he say, y'all? Y'all here or what? What's going on? Peter said what? Peter said what you say all the time. Lord, I done did this for you, Lord. I done gave that first fruit, Lord. I done gave that money to that building, Lord. I done gave it all up for you. Wait a minute, Peter. Peter said, nah, I ain't got no food. I paid my rent on time, but I still ain't got no money for food because I had to tithe. What? Wait a minute. No, I'm just saying Peter. Peter is trying to tell God. Let me see. Peter is trying to tell God that, Lord, watch me. I deserve this raise. I deserve this kind of life. Because you know what I did? I went and drained out my bank account on the word of the pastor, and then now, Peter. Look what he says. I left everything and followed you. Look at verse 29. But I love Jesus. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you? Jesus said, truly. Now, the word truly means, bro, pay attention. All right, which means listen up. That's what that means. All right, Jesus said, truly I say to you, there's no one who has left house or brother or sister or mother or, hold on, Holy Spirit, hold on. See, with the rich man, God says, when you come to me, you coming with stuff. I don't need that. See, I want to see what you're willing to sacrifice to really show that you want me. So that when you come to me with nothing, then I can say to you, you ain't did nothing. In other words, you really haven't given up anything following me. But whatever you give up following me, let's read the rest of the text. The rest of the text says what? He says, no one has left house or brother or sister or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sakes, but that he will receive. A 100 times as much. Check the word. Tell your neighbor now. Now. In the present, there's a principle here. In the next 5 weeks, I'm going to lay out the principles. Okay, I'm going to lay out the principles, okay? So walk with me on this, okay? Show up at Bible study. Let me say this. Bible study is where you grow. All right? Sunday morning is where you just show up to worship God and get a word that will encourage you for the rest of the week. But this is where you grow. Watch this. He says now. When you release it, stop thinking it ain't never going to come back. Whatever you gave up for God, stop thinking that God is not going to give it back to you. He says from his word now in the what? In the present. In the present age, what? Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, farms, along with what? Don't miss that. In the age to come, and what? Eternal life. Now, watch this. Jesus is saying to us, if you lose something because of your commitment to me, whatever you think you lose, you will receive back multiplied. Now, this is interesting because God is not a Santa Claus who gives us whatever we want. Or he's not even obligated to do it. But God, because if he was, that's the prosperity gospel. Here's how the prosperity gospel works. You give with the expectation that what I gave, I'm going to get it back. Well, you just nullified that whole situation in this passage because he says whatever you gave, and he says give it all, follow me. Right? He says, I will give it back to you. You don't know when he's going to give it back to you. You don't know how he's going to give it back to you. Okay, but you do know that you will get a return on what? All right. All right. Okay. All right. Let me slow down now. Now, look what he says in verse 31. He says, Jesus is saying, it's clear that what we have, what we lose for him will be rewarded throughout your life. This is not a one-time thing. He says, but many who are first will be last. The last shall be first. And that brings me to my passage tonight. Go to Luke chapter 6. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you. Now, I've stayed away from this passage for many, many years simply because the charismatics has messed it up big time. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. They messed it up. They have. They messed this thing up. Yeah. This is what they tell you when they're trying to get money out of you. Yeah. So let's read it together. Give and, okay, stop. Circle the word it. Tell your neighbor, pastor's going to talk about it theology. It theology. What's the rule in Bible study methods? Observation, interpretation, application, and then what? Context. What is the context of this passage? Let's go look at it. All right. Go to verse 32. If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend to those who expect to receive, what credit is it to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies. Do good. Lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will be not condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Now, give. And it. Now, Jesus moves from the Beatitudes to now talking about how you handle haters. Stop, get, reconcile your situations with the haters. Get your enemy list down. Because sinners is doing what you're doing, and that's not good enough. It's easy to stay angry at a person. That's what Jesus is saying. You know, it's easy for you to walk around with these grudges and all this stuff in your heart, and you're trying to figure out why you ain't getting blessed. You can't get blessed if you have all that junk in you. But watch this. He says something very interesting. He says, now why did he transition it from there to the word give? Give what? Let's do context. Give forgiveness. Give them a pass. All right? Let it go. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let that stuff go. Okay? Because it's hindering your it. You and I have the power to give it. Whatever the it is. Now, I hope you don't lose me here. Okay, when you saw the first word of the word give, stay with me. Stay with me, because we're not going to focus on that word right now, give. We're going to focus on the word it. That's why the chapter is entitled The Beatitudes. That's why God is trying to get us to get to this point. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, let it work. Tell your neighbor, let it work. Give it a chance. Give and it. Now listen, it's obvious that you could only give something if you have it to give. If you don't have it to give, what, even the it don't matter. The it can't happen if you don't have it. Now, a lot of you are saying, Pastor, I don't have it. I don't have the it. I need the it to get to the next level. He says, no, you do have the it. All right, now watch this, watch this. So the first thing you need to know on your ROI, write this down. Number one, you have to know that you have a source. Write that down. You have a source. God is the source. All right? You may have resources and channels through which God can give to you whatever he wants. But remember this, he's your only source. Say it one more time. He's what? Your only source. You see, once you make something other than God your source, well, you're going to keep on looking. If you make the bank your source, you got to count on the bank. If you make your sugar daddy the source, you gotta keep that sugar. And you gotta call him daddy. Whatever your source is, that's who you rely on. Return on investment. Watch this. He says, give and it. You have the it because God is what? The only source. Now watch this. The grocery store where you buy food is not your source. You know why? They don't grow the food. The job that you go to, guess what? They're not the source. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor it. All right? We're talking about it theology, right? Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. God is the what? The only source. Whatever it is that you can legitimately want and need from God, whatever you want from God, you got to give it to God first. Okay. Let me see if I can say that one more time. Whatever you want from God, you got to give it to God first. Because he is what? The source. Everybody wants something from God. We saw that, right? In the Mark passage. Go to Mark 10:29 again. We're coming back. Mark 10:29. Look, what does it say? Is this making sense? Look what it says. It says, truly I say to you, Peter, 28. Peter said what? Behold, we've left everything to follow you. See what I'm saying? Jesus said, truly I say to you, there's no one who has left house. And Jesus lists the things, watch this, that's going on here. And I want to say this to you real quick. The theology of it is based on the principle that God established in creation. Go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 12. Tell your neighbor, God is the source. Look, the earth brought forth vegetation. Plants, what? After what? So two, well, anyways. The tree bearing fruit of what? I'm sorry. The trees bearing fruit with seeds in them. Okay. Let me do this again. I almost got sidetracked. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me on track. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, but watch this, and the trees bearing fruit, what? Lord, let me do it, Lord. Please let me do it. I got only 7 minutes, but let me do it, Lord. Please. Please, watch this. Watch this with me. With seed, where? After what? And God saw that what? Stop. Let's scream it out. And God saw that what? Oh, y'all ain't did it together. Yeah, what's wrong with y'all? Come on. God saw that it was good. So write this down. So God is the source. The second thing is this. If you're going to get a return on your investment, you have to know the principle of the seed. The principle of the seed. Here's how the principle of seed works. All plants and trees that God has created has a seed built into it for future growth, for reproduction, but for reproduction after its kind. If you sow evil, you're going to return with evil. Come on, help me now. I'm talking to you now. If you sow unforgiveness, give and it. You're going to reap the same thing. If you wake up every day thinking negative all day about your life, and you're going to reap that seed every single day of your life. If you keep feeling like I can't overcome this situation, it's because the seed that you're producing. The seed. He says, the text says that they are bearing fruit. Let me ask you a question. Where's your seed? Some of us don't realize you come to church every week with no seed. The way God created life to work is that if you need something, you sow it first. And when you sow that thing, it comes back. But when it comes back giving you fruit and more seed. Come on, y'all. I'm figuring this thing out. And the reason why many of us don't get return on our investments is because when we get the seed back, we tuck it away. Watch this. Watch it. Put it another way. I want you to write this down. The principle of creation is just a broadened principle where life, to state it again, the thing you give, whatever it is the thing you get back from God. You got it? Watch this. So in other words, you're responding to your faith in giving whatever it is that you also need. I need this, so I give this. 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 I need a new car, I'm gonna give a new car. But imagine this. Let's do a picture now. Imagine a farmer wants a harvest. He goes, he gets the land, he cuts the soil, he got the soil all set up, right? Watch this. This is a very interesting principle. He prays. He goes to church. He reads his Bible. His eye gets heavy while I'm teaching. He's doing all that thing, all that stuff. But guess what? He never plants a seed. But he's up at the altar for prayer. And he's saying, Lord, please, please give me a harvest, Lord. Give me a harvest, Lord. Give me a harvest, Lord. But he never plants a seed. What do you think is going to happen? He's going to be disappointed. Anybody here disappointed? Oh, yeah, you've been praying. Oh, yeah, you've been good for about a few weeks. You ain't smoked. You ain't drank. You stayed off them streets. You've been doing pretty good. And now you want God to do something so miraculous for you, but you ain't sowed no seeds. But here's the problem now. Sometimes when we sow seeds, I'm sowing seeds. All right, ready? I've sown the seed. Seeds are sown. But it's sown in carpet. Your soil is jacked up. You're sown in the wrong ground. How many seeds are going to grow on this carpet? See? So you didn't put your seed in the right ground. So when he says given it, when you sow it, it has to be in the right ground, but you have to sow something to get something back. God, I need you to bless me. Bless my farm, Lord. Lord, I'm serious about this, Lord. I'm going to church. I'm committed. Come on, somebody. Just like the disciples, I left everything for you, God. And Lord, everything is, it don't look like it's working out. Stuff just don't look like it's getting right. But here's the thing. You never planted a seed. Tell your neighbor, if you have a need, plant a seed. Tell your neighbor, if you have a need, plant a seed. Imagine, we're going to sit here and wait for these seeds to grow. Some of us are sowing in places where it'll never grow. That's why it ain't happening. I ain't talking about the prosperity gospel here. I'm talking about what Jesus said. Jesus says, give and it. What God is going to do for us is not just tied to our need, It's tied to the seed, because he says they will produce fruit with seed in them. God says, I gave you this. You took it, and you never returned it. This is deeper than tithing. Deeper than tithing. God requires that the seed be planted. Why? So the farmer will always know that he is the source. When you plant the seed, you don't have to, you have to say, okay, God, I'm putting this seed down. You know what's crazy? Today I sowed a seed into someone else, and that's the reason why I got that call today. Then I sowed another seed on Monday into this young lady right here, and that is going to be like, I don't even know what it's going to be. I ain't talking about money. I'm talking about, look, if I can connect you to this person right there, and then y'all connect and stuff start moving and shaking, what am I doing? I'm sowing a seed. If I want to see you succeed, if I sow an idea, if I sow a connect, if I give you the plug, it's a seed. Some of us don't see that. Some of us, we think about self only, and we were self-seeking, and guess what? We just want, hey, listen, I'm going to mind my business. I'm going to mind my, I'm going to keep my blinders on. I'm going to be what about, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I ain't bothering nobody. That ain't no way to live. If you have a need, I sowed that seed today. And it wasn't no big $1,000 seed. It was a seed. But I put it in good ground. And then this lady called me. She's like, listen, we need that website now. She said, send me that email right quick so we can get cracking on this thing. I said, well, he gives to his beloved in their sleep. How many want to live like that? Just sleep and get a return on your investment. So I started to think when I was studying it, I said, okay, hold on. I done sowed the first fruit. So this is where I went through justifying myself, right? So I done sowed the first fruit. I done sowed victory. I done sowed to the building. God said, okay, and? How long does it take for a seed to grow? It ain't up to you, because God is the source. I didn't know my act of sowing today would bring me back a harvest today. Come on and help me, somebody. If you want to understand the seed principle, you got to look at the woman at Zarephath. Go to 1 Kings. Oh, my voice is changing. 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm getting happy about this because see, God wants to meet your needs, assuming you're willing to do something with your seed. Tell your neighbor, it's time to do something with your seed. This ain't tithing. This is beyond tithing. Some of you don't even want to tithe. Huh? What'd you say? You don't want to tithe. You think it's a scam. No. It's a principle. I'm going to live like no one else, because I'm willing to sacrifice to live like no one else. I'm willing to apply these principles in my life, and the principle of seed is an important principle. The woman at Zarephath is a very important lesson. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8, but what you find is that Elijah was a man of God. God took Elijah and put him by the brook of Cherith. God used the raven, the most stingiest animal in the world, to feed the man of God. And watch this, the brook was flowing with water. Then all of a sudden, God dried up the brook. The raven never came back. And then he had to move on to the next thing. Tell your neighbor, seed. Watch this. Watch this. The word of the Lord, verse 2. The word of the Lord came to him saying, go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook. Okay, we got that. Go to verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. So he's going to a pagan place, right? It says, and stay there. Behold, I've commanded a who? See who God uses? A widow. I will use, first of all, hold on. He used a raven and he used a brook. Tell your neighbor, seed. But watch this. Watch what he says. He says, I want to use the person that you least think that I could ever use in life. Watch this. A widow to do what? Wait a minute. How come the man of God got to rely on the widow to take care of him? Come on, preacher. Watch what he says. He says, so he arose, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow was there gathering what? Sticks. And he called to her, please give me a little water in a jar that I might drink. Verse 11, she said, she was going to get it. He called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. But she says, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of what? In the bowl, and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Yeah, God ain't talking about abundance, y'all. I want to say to somebody here today, it's not your need, it's your seed. And if you have a need, you got to sow a seed. Here's a woman who was down to her last. And look at what God asked of her. Then Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go. Do as I have said. See, a lot of you don't believe the preacher. But make me a little bread cake from it. First. That's right. The preacher eat first. By the way, kitchen staff. Amen. Want y'all to know that. Before everybody eat. Pastor got to eat for bring it out to me. And afterwards, you may make one for yourself and for your what? Son. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of the flour shall not exhaust, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. Can I ask you a question? The woman had a desperate need for food. But what did Elijah tell her to do? Make him a cake first. And then he gave her a promise. He gave her a promise. I know you have a need, but I want you to plant a seed by feeding my prophet. So the widow gave the very thing she needed, the bread that she needed, the oil that she needed. She was about to die, came back to her in such abundance that she lived on it for the rest of her life. All I'm saying tonight, if you have a need, sow a seed. Lord, I cannot ask you for things that I'm not willing first to plant. Them seeds ain't grown yet. I was waiting for them to grow, but remember, It can't grow in the wrong soil, but it ain't going to grow overnight. So you want your breakthrough? You ready for that? You ready for that? You ready for that next level? Sow the seed. Sow the seed. God, I want my business to go to the next level. I'm going to put this $1 bill right here and I'm going to sow it and I'm going to wait for it to happen. I'm going to sow the thoughts that I'm going to be successful. I'm going to sow the mindset that, guess what? That whatever I need, God is the source. But you got to catch something here. Write this down. The function of faith comes after that. The function of faith. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. It's a function, not a feeling. What if this woman would have said, man, you know what Moses would say? Man, this is all I got. You can't have what I got. We about to die. This woman is about to die. She sowed a seed into the man of God according to God's word. And the text says she went and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty. According to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. What need do you have tonight? I want to see if this works. I know it works. Okay? I'm not going to put my hands out and tell you bring me money. I ain't, whew, Lord, you thought I was going there. But let me ask you this. What's your seed? Come on. You have a need. You want God to do something. Sow it. Tell your neighbor, return on investment. Give God a hand clap of praise. Problem today is people want God to meet their need when they're unwilling to plant a seed, which usually means they don't exercise faith. So tonight, are you willing to sow a seed into what you need? Are you willing to do that tonight? Are you willing to say, God, I want to see this principle work. And I want you to put it in the name of what you're looking for. I put it in the name of my business today. I did. I said, Lord, I'm sowing this seed in the name of my business. I'm sowing this seed in the name of where I'm going. Remember, it's specific. So are you willing to see and experience God's supernatural move? You got some envelopes here tonight? Let me see some envelopes right quick. I want somebody to put a seed there. I want you to write on that envelope your need. My need, Lord, my need. Got a need, Lord, I got a need. I want a return on my investment. But you got to plant it specifically. What that seed, he says, and fruits with seeds in them. Now, I believe in the first fruit because I know it works. But this will be the very first time I do this because I want to see for you. I've already tried it by faith. What's that need? You need healing? Come on, you need hope? You can't buy it. Even if it's just a simple request. Lord, I'm asking you to touch those people's hearts. Touch whoever they are. Touch whoever's holding up, whatever's holding up my harvest. Oh, next week we're going to get into harvest. Whatever that need, what's your need tonight? And I want you to come and I want you to put your seed in the ground tonight.